Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nabs Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Avi Ganglani. This is a special episode. You're all going to know why in a little bit. Okay, I'm not going to spoil anything. We're going to get to the episode shortly, but first, a quick word from our sponsor, Get Blued. Attention, Ateneo enthusiasts. The thrill of UEAP Season 86 second semester sports is here, and Loyola Heights is buzzing with excitement. Now is the perfect moment to become a crucial part of the Ateneo six-man, cheering the varsity teams to victory. Don't just watch. Immerse yourself in the passion, the camaraderie, and the sheer amazement of the games. And what better way to manifest your unyielding support than by flaunting the latest gear from Get Blue? The brand new collection is a testament to the spirit of Ateneo, capturing the essence of victory and the pride that comes with being part of something extraordinary. Visit the link in our bio for an exclusive look at Get Blued's latest collection. Discover a range of high-quality apparel, from shirts to accessories, designed to elevate your game day experience. Show off your team colors and immerse yourself in the Blue Eagles' journey with pride. This season, it's not just about watching. It's about being seen as a true Blue Eagle supporter. Get Blued is your gateway to showcasing your loyalty, passion, and love for the game. Elevate your style, and let the world know where your heart truly belongs. Get ready, get set, and get geared up with Get Blued. Okay, we are here, and we are joined by Ateneo Blue Eagles team captain, Sean Kitevis. Sean, I'm not going to keep the suspense in the air way too long. I'm going to give the floor to you. Thank you for joining this podcast. Thank you for sharing this platform with me to announce something I know that's close to your heart. So, Sean, why don't you let the people know what you're planning to do?
First, I just want to say thank you for having me on your podcast, Naveen. It's an honor to be here. A lot of great athletes have been on this. But I just want to officially announce that I'm coming back to Ateneo to play for my last year, this season 87. And I'm looking forward to being back with my teammates. Those that left, I wish them all the best. But for those that stayed, we have a mission at our hand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sean Kitev is coming back for his final go, final tour with the Blue Eagles. And it is nice to finally have you on the show. So for the listeners, a little backstory I have to share. We are recording this Monday, January 22. So by the time you listen to this episode, it'll be a few days that have passed since we talked about this. Of course, you probably all already saw Sean's social media post about his decision to come back as well. And I'm just so excited to see how the next few days are going to play out. Very excited to edit this podcast to get it up. And also just, you know, this is almost like a second part to the podcast, Sean, because I'm not sure if everyone saw my post a few days ago, but you and I got to catch up over coffee. It's the off season, just, you know, keeping in touch, you know, conversations, great discussions. Like, I didn't even realize the time was going by that fast. Like, I believe we started at like 5:30. Then when we looked at the clock, it was like, wait, it's 9 p.m. And just a lot to talk about. And while you were having those discussions, I was like, man, it's going to be great to put this in a podcast because of all the stories we were sharing. And there are stories to share. I can't wait to get into that. I'm sure our listeners can't wait to get into that. But before we get into that, take us through your decision process. Take us through the roller coaster of sorts, you know, emotionally and mentally for you when it came down to making this decision. Because I think a lot of people kind of knew that a part of you really wanted to come back for season 87, but it wasn't so much of a simple decision, was it?
No, definitely. It was such a difficult decision for me. I think last season was a roller coaster of emotions. You know, I had to deal with an injury throughout the season. I came back from the injury and just, you know, tried to manage my way through it. But just a roller coaster of emotions for last season, you know, losing a couple games to like buzzer beaters, beating the best teams. And it was honestly straining mentally to go through that season. But, you know, I enjoyed every second of it. It was everything that I hoped and prayed for, you know, to play under that environment. But ultimately, the decision came to stay because, honestly, I just felt like there was nothing like the UAP. Like the basketball team in the UAP is unlike any other, and I would even say like, and like unlike any other in the world. The school spirit, the bond you have with your teammates, playing for something more than just yourself. I think that that's irreplaceable in the UAP. And the decision was hard because, you know, I was looking at a lot of options that I had. You know, medical school was one, continuing my master's degree was one, and of course, the lucrative opportunity of going professional. I think my dream was always going to be like playing professional basketball, making basketball a living. But there was just something about it. Like I couldn't let Ateneo go yet. It felt like there was so much unfinished business to be taken care of, and I felt like I held a responsibility to that mission.
Well said. Very well said. Now, did you have conversations with Coach Tab, with the managers, with your teammates, such as Chris Kuhn, maybe Mason, and maybe some of the other guys that help kind of get you to this point where you knew for certain you wanted to come back?
Definitely, I think, you know, players, especially when your teammates become your brothers, you're always talking about like what's next for you, like what's your plan, and you kind of want to align with each other's goals. And talking with Chris, talking with Mason, and talking with like a lot more of my teammates, we were just talking about like, you know, what if we came back and ran it back? I feel like we would be such a great team. Like there's still so much room for growth in our team. And it was exciting, the thought of that. With regards to talking to Coach Tab, I think me and him are kind of like, right now our relationship is the best it's ever been. I feel like we're really seeing eye to eye in what we want from each other. And I think being one of Tab's captains is probably honestly one of the most difficult jobs like ever. Like this guy is one of the greatest leaders I would say in the world. And to step in the role of leading his team, you have huge shoes to fill and huge expectations to fill. And honestly, I'm still trying to learn every day I'm with him.
So, are you learning through those 7 a.m. gym sessions or those runs at the golf course with Coach Tab? I'm sure that those moments, I'm not sure who's like beating who at golf, but I'm sure there's some learning moments there.
You know, I used to think golf was like an enjoy. Like, you know, I play golf to enjoy. It's all
Right.
about, you know, the beautiful scenery, the people you're with,
The conversations.
conversations. But, you know, with Coach Tab, there's just so much trash talk going on that gets a little too personal.
Oh my God,
But
man.
it's all good. It's all good fun. You know, like I try to pick his brains even outside the court. And even just like talking, I think we have a good relationship that we're like close enough to talk about our personal lives. And yeah, just learning from all the experience he has, even outside the basketball court. And I really cherish that.
I gotta ask, what kind of trash talk is he telling you in the golf course? Is he bringing basketball into it? Is he like trying to mess with your brain a little bit?
A little bit, you know, like I remember like my first swing in the golf course. I took my swing and like, you know, the ball probably went out of bounds. And he kind of said like, "Oh, like your golf swing's like your jump shot."
Oh my God.
And I was like, "All right, coach, like it's the first hole, relax."
Oh Jesus. But who's benching more? Who's like, who's got like more weights in the bench press?
That's definitely me. That's definitely me.
You letting him know about it too?
Oh yeah, all the time, all the time. It's when we're in that weight room together, there's a lot of talk going on still. But I gotta give it to him for his age. He's one of the sharpest, not just mentally, but physically as well. I feel like he's continuously pushing his body. Like I haven't seen a 65-year-old like this move like this. It's amazing.
Have you ever seen Coach Stab play pickup?
Pick up basketball?
Yeah.
Nah. I would pay money to see that though. I would
Oh
pay money to see that.
my God, that's funny. You know,
Yeah.
it's so funny that he was trash talking about your jump shot too, because you shared a story with me that you told me you'd like to share in the podcast too. And this was, I believe, the night or a few days before your knockout match against Adamson to get into the Final Four, right? Season 86. And at this point, you and Coach Tab, you're aware that, or rather, you're expecting, because of the previous matchups against Adamson, that they would sag off you, send help. Usually, the guy guarding you would be the help defender for penetration or for some of the other offensive weapons in the team, which would then give you a lot of room to let jump shots fly. So
That
the night before the game, you and Coach Tab, you're working extra hours in practice. He's rebounding the ball for you, kicking it out to you. I don't know how many jump shots he made at night, but you would then go on to have your best shooting game, maybe of your career, against Adamson in that knockout match. So what was that? I'm not sure how long it was, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour, but that period with Coach Stab, where he's rebounding for you, kicking it back out to you, telling you to shoot. Not sure if he's trash talking you at this point because he's trying to get your motivation up. But what was that like?
Honestly, it started from that, the second round game against Adamson. We knew it was like a playoff game, like whoever wins this game gets an advantage in the standing or the seeding, or like improves their chances of making the Final Four. So the pressure was really high that game. And, like we were up big in the first half. And then in the third quarter, we collapsed. And then they went up seven, if I'm not mistaken. And then the start of the fourth quarter, it was almost like our backs are against the wall, our season might be over. So I always try to like make adjustments mid-game with how the opposing team plays me. And in that game, it was just exactly what you said. They were basically playing 5-on-4 on offense. Oh, wait, while we were on offense.
Defense, yeah.
Yeah, so I had to change my mentality, be more aggressive, be more of an attacker, try to cut, rebound the ball. And somehow I think I ended up as player of the game that game during that game. And then I remember this like vividly. I remember, I don't know if you can get this clip, but there was a camera on me showing me player of the game, Sean Kitavis. But as they were showing me, I was already talking to Coach Tab, and I was telling him like exactly what Adamson was doing to me. And I was asking him like, how can I be more efficient in terms of that? Like, how can I be more efficient for the team? What can I do better? And then he was just saying like, let's talk about it right, like when we're in the locker room. So like, I think that just shows that I was already, like, right after the game, I was already in that mentality of when I do face this type of defense again, I want to be ready.
Right.
Right. So we go back after that game, we talk about it. And the next practice after that game, Coach Tab messages me, can you come to the gym early? Let's shoot. And, I always come to the gym early to shoot, but, the coaches are really busy with planning practices, et cetera. So when Tab asked me that, I said, absolutely, coach. Give me a time and place, I'll be there. So I come in the gym and he's already dressed up, ready for a, like usually he's more professional in practices. But he had his workout gear on and he was just ready to go. He was already shooting when I got there. So we start shooting, we go through like the mechanics, everything he wants me to change. And I'm telling you, man, this guy was running all over the place. Like sometimes the ball would take a bad bounce, go to the opposite side of the court, go outside the gym, and he would run after it.
Wow.
Yeah. At 65 years old, I was amazed. I was amazed. But yeah, so coming into that game, he was just telling me like all throughout like our meetings, like you're gonna hit shots this game. And you know, like if all else fails, he was telling my teammates, give it to Sean, like let him shoot it. So, you know, like the challenge, like Adamson was really like set on their game plan. Like this is where their way to winning. But I felt like as a team, he prepared me personally really well, and he prepared the team really well. And I guess that just showed during that game.
Sean Kitav has 11 points in that game against Adamson, second leading scorer for Ateneo behind Jared Brown. And you guys got to keep that final four streak alive. I think at that point, the danger was you would miss the final four for the first time since 2013, had you guys not won that game. But you won that game and pushed UP really to, I'm not sure if we can say the limit, but you did give them a very strong challenge in that final four matchup. You were even leading for certain stretches. And, you know, now that you're coming back for season 87, I can only imagine how many more times you and Coach Stab are going to have moments like that where you're leaning on each other's motivation and discipline and desire to get better to help Ateneo maybe go further than they did in season 86, and also maybe some trash talking there along the way. We're going to be back with Sean Kitevis, everyone, but first, a quick word from our sponsor, FitSpire. Are you ready to transform your home into a premium fitness haven? Look no further than FitSpire, your go-to destination for top-notch home gym equipment designed to take your fitness to unprecedented heights. Immerse yourself in a world of possibilities with their versatile range of premium gear, including yoga equipment for serene workouts, adjustable dumbbells and kettlebells for customized strength training, roller wheels and push-up bars to sculpt those abs and arms, jump ropes, foam rollers, and stability balls for an all-rounded workout experience, stylish and efficient cooling towels to keep you refreshed, and sport water bottles for staying hydrated in style. FitSpire's equipment is not only durable but also space-saving, allowing you to create your dream workout space without sacrificing aesthetics or functionality. Whether you're a fitness novice or a seasoned pro, their collection caters to all levels. And here's the real game changer. As a special treat for our podcast listeners, we're offering an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Simply use the code word NAVSEFFECT10 upon checkout at www.sunbeamslifestyle.com. It's our way of saying thank you for choosing FitSpire. But that's not all. For an even more seamless experience, download the Sunbeams Lifestyle app, available on both iOS and Android platforms. Browse their collection, stay updated on fitness trends, and exclusive deals. Transform your fitness routine from ordinary to extraordinary with FitSpire. Don't just dream about your fitness goals, achieve them in the comfort of your own home. Visit www.sunbeamslifestyle.com, use code NAVSEFFECT10, and let FitSpire be your fitness companion on this incredible journey. Okay, we're back. Now, Sean, that wasn't the only Coach Stab story I remembered. One in particular, I was laughing when you told this to me a few days ago. And I was laughing because, let's be real, we know Coach Stab Baldwin is great at the mind game stuff. And sometimes the mind game stuff will include comments to the media, maybe what he says in the locker room after the game. But that's part of basketball, right? That's why he was watching the UP Maroons before game two, I think it was, or game three of the UAAP finals. No, maybe game one in season 85, when everyone was wondering, why is he watching UP warm up? He's trying to get an advantage, right? Trying to pick up maybe a note or two, keep it in his back pocket, and use that in the future. And that's what the great ones do. You try to find every edge, every advantage that you can use. So you guys lose season 84 in excruciating fashion. Let's, like, one shot is, I know it sounds like I'm simplifying it, but one shot by JD Kagulangan, which we have to give credit, it was an incredible shot for him to make at that moment. One shot, what's the difference of four championships in 5 seasons and maybe a 5-peat, right? So, Sean, why don't you tell us the story of what Coach Tab Baldwin did your first practice for season 85 in that film viewing session?
Yeah, so after season 84 ended with that shot, you know, we bid goodbye to our seniors, we shed tears together. And it was emotional because we came from a bubble, so we spent almost every day together. So when we lost that, it was really like a shot to our heart as a team. And we kind of came out like getting ready for season 85, fired up. We wanted revenge. But our first session back in practice, Coach Tab calls us up to the film room. And as soon as we get in the film room, immediately on the TV, we see the last possession of season 84, which is JD with the ball, Mamu guarding him, pick and roll, step back, and he hits the shot. And that was the way we kicked off season 85. Watching that shot, dissecting the play,
And not just
dissecting
one time, right? He played it over and over again.
it. Yeah, he played it 3 times. And I really remember after seeing the first time, like I was barely looking at the second and third time, just like this. And just saying, like, coach, like, let's get on the court right now. Like, I'm done. I've seen this enough. But honestly, it really taught me a valuable lesson because the defense that we played during that possession kind of gave JD that shot. And that was such a huge learning lesson to me as a player that I didn't want to be, I'm sorry, Mamu, but I didn't want to be that guy on the video. You
Right.
know, so like that's where the pressure defense that we have comes in, and it's just a huge learning lesson. It was one way that he did. That Coach Tab did to really ingrain it in us that we can't make those mistakes because the results that happen after, just those small details, can cost you a championship just like that.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by the story in the sense that if you look deeper, there's, basketball fundamentals in it, right? Like you look at the D and Mamu is a great defender, by the way. He made a UAP career out of being a shutdown defender, and he's thriving in the pros, and we're all happy for him.
Absolutely.
That possession though, there was some space for JD, right? Now, it might have had something to do with the fact that few possessions before that, I think Ange came up and that left Malik open for a roll, which was the, I think that was the dunk that tied the game. So at that point, UP had scored 5 straight points, including a similar play. So, as a basketball player, you're thinking, right? Okay, so what's the situation here? How am I going to play this? Because they had just played the possession differently, like a few moments before. And you have to make these decisions like in split seconds, like 0.5 seconds, right? Because everything's happening in warp speed while like 20 plus thousand people are like shouting and screaming and can feel emotions in the air. And I found it interesting from your perspective because you didn't really get to technically crack the rotation until game two of the UAAP finals in season 85. And immediately, the moment you come in, you change that series with pressure defense. You weren't giving JD any breathing room, and you were stuck to him like a jealous husband following his wife around. Really, I mean, I know it's a weird terminology there, but that's really what it looked like. Although right away it seemed clear, at least to me, from my perspective as an analyst, that pressure defense made it hard for UP to run some of their offensive sets. In part because I feel what defenses like to do against UP is limit them in transition and make them play half court offense, right? Because of that they're better in transition. And you just changed that series completely. So the moment you were entering game two of the finals, you hadn't played a lot for season 85, but you're here. I believe BJ Andrade was in foul trouble, and that's how you got your crack at the rotation. Was that on your mind too? That clip that Coach Stapp played to start the season?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, when we watched that clip, we liked our chances. We had our best defender on JD Kavalanan. But yeah, just that small detail of giving a little too much room and maybe not pressuring as much, it was really a huge learning experience for me. So when I came out for the finals in game two and game three, it was all that was on my mind. It was like, I'm not gonna let this guy breathe. I'm just gonna stick to him and make him work for everything. And you know, he was still talented enough to score on a lot of those possessions. So that just speaks to how good he is. But that was really what was on my mind during that series.
We're going to be back with Sean Kitevis after a word from our sponsor, The Cleaning Coach.
When it comes to cleaning a home or office, most people just know the basics. Mopping the floor, wiping off dust and dirt is pretty standard. While all that can make a place look clean, it doesn't mean it is clean. Making a place truly clean and virus-free requires a professional help. That's where the Cleaning Coach comes in. The Cleaning Coach provides outstanding general cleaning, commercial cleaning, post-construction cleanup, upholstery cleaning, floor, carpet cleaning, aircon cleaning, and disinfection at a very reasonable price. The Cleaning Coach and his team will do all the scrubbing, dusting, polishing, disinfecting, and sanitizing, so you won't have to. Making your place look clean that you can also smell and feel. You will experience the difference. Now that's stress-free cleaning to a better normal, done professionally by the Cleaning Coach. Contact the Cleaning Coach today to learn more.
Okay, we're back now. Sean, there have been so many stories over the years, right? Playing in the UAP, being a Blue Eagle, and just becoming a better basketball player, trying to become a better player every single season, every single day that you're in practice. Now, this is something I find interesting. And when people listen to this, as I ask you this question, I hope they do so with an open mind and try to understand the perspective I'm coming from, because I think this is a very interesting topic to get into, where a lot of basketball players in the Philippines, in the college level, they are the breadwinners of their families, right? That's why, you know what, if you ask me, what do you think about college players getting all this money with the marketing and with the commercialization of, you know, college sports, you know, taking away the purity of varsity sports? My response is always, hey, listen, the period where an athlete can monetize his talents or her talents is shorter than any other profession, because, you know, if your body's holding up past 35 years old, you're fortunate, right? So if you're you know, ability to monetize and those abilities is shorter compared to other professions, and you start monetizing at an early age. So if you're gonna get the money, you know, get the money. And for a lot of these kids, a lot of these athletes, they're getting the money to take care of their families, you know, to provide, you know, food in the table for mom and dad, to provide an education for their younger siblings. Now, Sean, it's different for you, and you've shared this to me in the sense that if you didn't become a UAAP player, and you would be okay from your family's perspective, which then makes me think, okay, your motivation isn't just financial, you know, surviving financially. Your motivation is purely love for this game, desire to play this game. And to anyone who's doubting that, to anyone who thinks I'm being too cheesy, I mean, your journey from not from Cebu to going to Ateneo as a walk-on, not being honest with your parents that you weren't actually getting a lot of playing time, even for Team B, and then from trying and trying and trying to try out for the main team, waiting your time, and then finally getting your shot at in the finals. And by the way, too, for those who don't know, Sean actually would literally have his AirPods on during practice, Blue Eagles practices, attending class and running defensive drills for Coach Tab at the same time. When he told me this, I was like, are you crazy? That's how do you even do that? Like, class in one ear, trying to listen to Coach Tab and his instructions in the other. That's like, insane level of multitasking. But I mentioned all of this because I want to know your why, Sean. What is your why? Is it just purely love for the game that has pushed you to keep working, keep trying, or is there something else in there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of what you said like actually like shocked me. Like I just worked and then like I didn't know it actually sounded that crazy. To me, my why is really to inspire others to be the best versions of themselves. And I believe that a lot of that came from watching maybe my dad work. Just it's not basketball, obviously. He's a doctor, but just to see the level of care he gave his patients, really giving everything he had, like knowledge, care. He was so empathetic. That was such a huge like why for me to really, you could just tell that he loved what he did.
Yep.
And every day I wanted to live like that. Just love what you do. And I'm the type of person, I'm the type of guy that's like, if I love something and I want it, I'll do whatever it takes to get it. And to take all those no's, to take all those cuts, it was like one way or another, I'm gonna get there. One way or another.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Was there ever a time where maybe it was the finals, maybe when you guys were celebrating at Silo after you won the championship? Maybe it was when you were named captain. Was there ever a time where you just kind of sat back and you were like, holy crap, I'm actually here? Like, this is surreal.
Yeah, I have a vivid memory of that. It was game three of the finals, and coach puts me back in. I think it's the fourth quarter, a couple seconds, maybe seconds left. And right after Alarcón hit that eventual
Crazy
corner three,
sideways, yeah.
crazy. And then I think we had the ball, we turned it over, or I'm not sure, but they were inbounding. And then I think someone got the ball. I was on my wing, took the three, missed it, and then I got the rebound, and then I got fouled. So I had two free throws to go to the line. And I just remember it was like one of the slowest walks I've ever had.
Ooh.
Just the roar of the Ateneo crowd, knowing that a championship was within our grasp. It was like a movie scene, honestly.
Wow.
I remember Kai walking up to me, all my teammates walking up to me, telling me like, "I got this, I got this." And I remember just looking at him like, just with a pure smile, just we're here, man. Let's go get this. And yeah, I remember, I can still remember all the pictures, the feeling. Surreal, surreal. Something, a memory I'll carry forever for sure.
Did you go 2 for 2? I don't remember.
I made the first one.
Okay, you made one at least, right? You
I
made
made one.
one.
The second one I missed, but it was to run down the clock, you know.
Yeah. Hey, if you're gonna miss one of the two, you'd rather miss the second, because
The
when you
second
miss
one.
that first one and you're like, oh crap, right? That
Yeah.
second one, you better
Ooh.
make the second
Yeah.
one. Oh,
No, but it was good
none.
because eventually the last person to take those free throws was BJ, and I really believed he deserved that moment.
For sure, for sure. And those Xavier free throws were, that to me was like a transcending basketball competition kind of moment too. The way
Yeah.
both Ateneo and UP kind of came together for a second to forget the intensity and just applaud the great player. That was something that was special too, I must say. Okay, I want to play a game of quick rapid fire with you. Okay. Now, the rules are simple. And I'm gonna enjoy playing this with you because I know you. You're gonna like really follow the rules. Okay, I tell some people the rules, they're like, okay, and then they get to the point and they don't actually follow it. I think you're gonna follow it. So I'm gonna ask questions. Now, I do not have any idea what I'm gonna ask you yet. I am literally gonna ask you questions at the top of my mind. And that's the fun part. The reason it's fun is because you're gonna have to answer me the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay? You don't have the time to think about it. You just gotta answer what, just don't think, just talk. And if you say something
Cool.
dangerous, don't worry, you were
I'm
gonna,
out.
we're
I've heard that line before.
gonna. Okay. Real talk, we'll call it real talk rapid fire with Sean Kateves. Okay, first question. How careful do you have to be when you're DMing somebody on Instagram?
Very careful, very careful. You gotta know them. You gotta know them.
Okay. True or false, it's easier for a basketball player to get girls in college.
True.
I like that. See, I like that honesty, man. Okay, let's see. True or false? Academics in Ateneo is harder than everywhere else.
False, false.
Okay.
I believe that every, I've heard a lot of stories from people from different schools, and honestly, it sounds really difficult as well.
In a few words, describe the Ateneo UP rivalry.
Thrilla in Manila.
I like that. I like that. Okay. Feelings towards the UP Fighting Maroons. Hatred, respect, or neutral?
Oh, that's tough. It's gotta be respect with some hatred for what they did to us in 84.
Got you, got you. What is the Bebop legacy?
Servanthood.
Oh, I
Being a
like
man for
that.
others.
I like that. I like that. Okay. If you had to be trapped in an island for a year with one of your teammates, who are you taking with you? Just one teammate.
Sean Tuano.
Really? Why so? You can order him around as the rook?
Yeah, I got he's my rook, and I got he'll follow everything I say, I hope.
Hey, that kid can ball. I think that kid's gonna be good over the next few years.
He's gonna be
Yeah.
special. He's got a great work ethic.
All right. You guys order crispy pata. Who's finishing the whole thing right away?
Mason. I'm playing. I'm playing.
My God.
Maybe Rafi Celis. Like Kobe Demasana.
Okay. Oh, Kobe. Wow. For someone who's slim, Kobe eats a lot.
Think so. I think, yeah. I think he does.
All right, all right. Something about Coach Tab that not a lot of people know about.
He's actually a nice guy. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's kinder than most people think.
Okay.
Until you make mistakes. Until you make mistakes.
Oh, most unforgettable Coach Tab scolding you got.
Oh, this was during when I had AirPods on. So I had AirPods on. I was listening in class, so I didn't really hear what the instructions of the drill was. So, anyways, I kind of did something that, my usual defense is, physical. I took away something that I wasn't supposed to take away. And he just stopped the whole thing and just started yelling at me and just saying like, "Am I trying to mess up this practice?" And I turn around, look back, my face is like in complete shock, terrified.
Man,
And I can
man.
still hear my prof like lecturing me about, mathematics and the business world.
Oh my God.
And I immediately go like, "No coach, no coach, I'll do the next one right."
Did you tell him you had class? That's why you couldn't really focus or not? Nah?
The thing I learned with Coach Dabbs is better not give him any excuses. I'll just
Hey.
take it on the chin,
All right, all right. Okay. Who's got the most Riz in the Ateneo Blue Eagles?
I would say Andrew Bongo. Andrew Bongo.
Hey, it's always the quiet ones, huh?
Quiet one. The quiet one. He's
Yeah.
got a good game.
Okay, what kind of game? Hoops? Yeah, we know he can hoop too. Okay, let's see. Last question. Last question. If you were the basket, oh. Last two questions. Toughest guy to defend in the UAP.
Damn. Like previous or current?
Your whole career, from all the guys you've ever had to guard.
I'll say Carl Tamayo. That guy
Size and.
was just size, speed, strength, skill. I think I did really well to cut him off, but his secondary moves were just so good. Spin, fades. his hook. Just what a talent. What a talent. And I thought I contested them pretty well, but
Still
just
made
the
it.
size. Man, mismatch. He's good.
If you were the basketball player, what career would you pursue?
Unless you'd probably be a doctor.
Any specialization in particular that you might like?
Think pediatrics, because I was always around the charities that my dad worked for,
Right.
Operation Smile, dealing with children and just changing their lives and seeing how happy they would become. Just it's infectious. I think it gave me so much purpose to what I do.
For real. That's real talk right there. Okay, I just thought of one. I gotta slip it in. Are you a cat person or a dog person?
I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I'm a dog,
You got
for sure.
dogs back home?
Actually, I kind of stopped with dogs because when I was young, I had these dogs and I really loved them and I cared for them. But then, my mom gave them away,
Oh.
and that really broke my heart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been hard to reattach to loving dogs that way. But I do enjoy dogs.
Have you ever lost a dog who like passed away?
Yeah, dude, that was tough.
Oh,
Me and my siblings, that was tough.
I know. I experienced that for the first time last year in my life, and you don't really know how to prepare yourself for it, right? Like it's soul crushing.
There's a
It's
hole that can be replaced.
yeah, like I found myself just like lying down in bed for like a whole day and like tears just randomly coming up and like man, like they never leave you, right? They stay right here. They stay right here. It's
That's true, man.
man, tough. Well, pets make our lives better though. I'm gonna always say that. Now let's look forward to season 87 some more. You guys got a squad. You guys got a squad. You got you got CK coming back, probably bringing his like oat milk lattes to the game. Or maybe he's into matcha now, who knows? Probably got these like beats that he creates and these headphones playing to get him ready for the game.
What a sophisticated guy, huh?
He is a very
Really?
sophisticated guy, exactly. You know, he could be in one of those like Dos Equis most interesting men in the world kind of advertisements. No, shout out to Chris. He's the type of guy it would be nice to like sit down with and have a coffee with or have a single malt with or something like
Oh,
that. Yeah. And
for sure, man.
to those wondering why we're like so PG-13 this podcast episode with this podcast episode, it's like 12:30 in the morning, guys. Okay. This is like late night conversations right here. But back to the topic. You got Mason coming back. He should be better by his second season. The kids from Cebu, the recruits, they should be talented. Those you were able to recruit last year. Like I said, Sean Tuono probably should be improved too. Losing Jared Brown is obviously tough. But you got Gab Gomez coming back, Ian Espinosa, and there are a lot of young talent that will need some developing, some more developing, some more practices. And of course, there is the possibility now that he has technically decommitted. I'm not sure if it's the right term, but rather UP has stopped pursuing him according to their announcement. There is a chance that Jared Bahai might come to Ateneo given the connection to Ateneo Cebu, the high school. So, in this hypothetical situation, Jared Bahai is part of Ateneo, the next conversation we're going to have. Imagining him part of the team. And everyone else you got with that coaching staff, following what happened last season, losing your spot on top of the UAAP hierarchy, how do you envision season 87 playing out?
Well, we always have the biggest goal in season 87. We hold ourselves to that standard. But, with these new additions, to have Jared would be amazing. A floor general like that, a player of that talent, highly skilled, and he kind of has a Cebuano dog in him. That would be really exciting to have more of, And you add that with pieces that are continuing to grow, continuing to get better. And I feel like we're learning even more now of how to be a team, how to play with each other, for each other. And I think even with Coach Tab, like we're all learning from our mistakes from last season and continuing to build on that. It makes season 87 really exciting. I think we want to highly improve from 86, and hopefully, like for my last season, ended well, ended really well.
What's interesting to me is I felt you guys were playing your best basketball towards the end of season 86 too. Joe was starting to play better. Coach Tab seemed like he was starting to get a better grasp of this team. You mentioned the second round game against Adamson, where, at a certain point in the second half, you guys were probably wondering, well, shit, is this our season, right? If we lose this, we might be screwed. And ironically, you guys actually kind of started taking off from there. I felt that even if you came in as the fourth seed, you guys were the third best team in the league by the time the Final Four started. And the proof was in the performances. Like, you guys beat UE, you guys won that game against Adamson. And the most impressive game to me was actually in a loss. That game against De La Salle University, that second round game in Araneta, where you both teams were just going at it back and forth, back and forth. And it was impressive because I felt that La Salle entered that game knowing they had to win for a twice speed advantage. You guys entered that game knowing you needed to win to secure a Final Four spot. So the stakes were there. You were giving the would-be the team that would end up being the champions, you were giving them everything you guys had, big shots, big defensive plays. And towards the end, Nelly and Kimbao make like one, two more plays, but that could have really gone either way. And then you get to the Final Four against UP. And at a certain point in the second half, it looked like, oh, wait, they might force like a rubber match, a do or die match, and put the pressure in the Fighting Maroons. Do you think the way you all ended season 86 is something you're going to build on entering 87? Or at this point, or rather at the point when 87 starts, will so much time have elapsed by then that it won't really matter?
Honestly, we won't throw that experience away. I think you'd be a fool to not take the lessons from that season. And we've talked about it with Coach Tab himself. Like, at some point in that season, we kind of wish we had another season in January because, the picture started getting clearer for us of what team we needed to be, what we needed to work on, and how to attack these better teams. And you're right, the Ateneo La Salle game was lived up to what an Ateneo La Salle rivalry
Yep,
was.
yep.
And like I said, there's nothing like the UAAP. And to be a part of that was just amazing. But in the basketball sense, you're right, we kind of did find our groove towards the end, but we kind of just lost steam. And that's when I think our youth and our lack of experience kind of showed, because we could show glimpses of how good this team could be, but we still lack the consistency of maintaining that. And me personally, as a leader of this team, I really take that personally and am continuing to grow from that.
Real talk. If LaSalle doesn't win that game against you guys in the second round, I don't think they win the championship. I really think that the challenge you guys gave them in that game allowed them to grow as a team, to close out games. And if you guys hadn't pushed them to the limit, they might not have been able to win that game three against UP and Araneta a few weeks later. And it's so funny how the UAAP works that way sometimes, right? Like, you have a game in the first round or the second round, and then you don't really realize it until you get to the Final Four, the finals. But that first round, second round game ends up giving you the lessons you needed to be able to win later on.
Yeah, I think, like you said, somehow the storylines of the UAP just end up in the most dramatic ways. And to me, that's what life's all about, creating like the greatest story that can be told.
See, I like that about you because A lot of players, and of course, nothing wrong with it. They like withdrawing from that, right? They like not really, buying into the dramatics, the theater of basketball, because basketball is theater too, to some degree. You've got the storylines, you got the media, you got the rivalries, you got the hatred with respect for opposition. And I like that you've always bought into that, so much so that literally, before game three of the season 85 finals, and I was there when you guys were huddled up, and I heard someone say, "We have the chance to write our own story today." Later on, I would find out that would be you, the guy who literally just made the rotation a game before, went to his teammates and said, "We have a chance to write our story today." What, tell me the backstory behind that. What was it, the hype of the game? Was it the energy? Were you just like, you know what, hey, if this might be my last game, I'm gonna make sure I say something quotable.
Yeah, no, honestly, it wasn't about saying something quotable. It honestly came from when we lost game one, and we came into the next practice really demoralized, kind of like maybe UP has our number here. But as soon as we exited the film room and we saw a lot of the B-ball players just come together and show some support, give some encouraging words, talk to us individually, and we kind of shared a meal together after. I remember messaging Matt Nieto. I said, like, I want to be you one day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he said, you will be after game three. And so during the in Araneta in game three, when, like you said, we were in like the dugout area, the reason I said we have a chance to create our own story today is because we heard the stories from the previous teams. And I told that team that I want the future teams to talk about us.
Right.
And honestly, before the season started, I don't know if many people know this, but we were in Cebu together as a team. And we each individually shared an important story to ourselves, like personal story. And it was so deep and it was so compelling that a lot of them were in tears telling stories. And we found out so many things about each other that made us even stronger and bonded together as a team. So when I said we have a chance to create our own story today, it was really because of those moments.
And you did create a fantastic story that your university will remember for a very, very long time. Sean, before we wrap up this podcast, I just want to thank you again for sharing your announcement with me on this platform. I know that you received a few messages from me from the off-season asking you, "Hey, Sean, what's the latest? Sean, what's the latest?" At a certain point, I'm sure you were like, "This guy's supposed to be in the States enjoying his vacation. What's he doing? Asking me about whether I'm coming back or not." But I love the UAAP. I always have. I love seeing all of you guys go to war every game, represent your schools on your
I
chest.
love how you said go to war.
Yes,
Thank you.
sir. It is. It is, man. I
Jeez.
mean, people don't realize it's war in that basketball court. And
Ooh.
when and you a lot of people don't see the little, nudges, elbows, scratches, mind games that go on behind the scenes, and practices
Man.
get even crazier, right?
I have this pre-practice routine of, stretching and then sprinting and then jumping on top of a bench and then screaming to my teammates, like, let's go to war.
Sir.
So,
Wow.
especially the Colosseum, it's almost like the time of the Romans. That's how I see it. When teams line up, face each other, it's like
You
the
sing this, you sing the
gladiators.
school hymn after as well. I mean, it's special, right? It's and I think it's special in part because it's so limited in your career. It's like 4 or 5 years, and then you need to cherish. And it's like 14 elimination round games a season, final four finals. So technically, you guys play less than. If you play like a 5-year career, playing less than 100 games, so you gotta cherish every single second you're out there. on the court. Sean, anything you want to plug? Anything you got? You know, I know you got some projects behind the scenes as well, aside from basketball. Excited for that coffee shop of yours that's opening up soon.
Yeah,
And yeah,
heard about
anything else you got in the works, bro?
that. Yeah, no, I just want to shout out to Cryoflex. Cryoflex is a brand that me and my best friend Miggy Bautista started, who is also the number one fencer in the Philippines. Together as athletes, we really prioritize recovery. And Cryoflex is a brand that endorses cold plunge therapy. So we sell steel tanks that people can keep at home. So whenever they decide that, you know, they need to recover, it's just ready and available for them. It's very classy. It's a very classy product. And we have a lot of elite athletes and also people who want to make lifestyle changes using them. As for the coffee, you know, it's still in development. I'm really excited to make that announcement soon. Hopefully everything goes well and it's gonna be soon.
How many times a week is Chris gonna ask for some coffee?
I'm making him pay for everyone, so
Hey,
I gotta keep going every day.
and you got the inspiration from my guy Jimmy Buckets, right?
Jimmy Buckets, man, what a guy. I'm a
What a
big fan of
guy.
the
See, this is why we vibe, man. This is why we vibe.
Miami
I like you a
Heat, man. Yes, sir.
lot. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And also, you have a podcast that you do from time to time.
Oh yeah, so me and Miggy Bautista, together with Cryoflex, we presented a podcast called Cold Conversations. It's a
Hey.
podcast that invites athletes and inspiring people to dive in the cold and, you know, break the ice with us.
Sir.
So hopefully we get to share more stories of these athletes, give them a platform to talk about their stories and hopefully inspire others in that process.
Yes, sir. And for those who want to know exactly what that means, athletes get in a cold tub with a bunch of ice and cold water. And instead of being put in the hot seat, they're put in the ice seat and they're made to ask some of the difficult questions, which make for great conversations. So you guys check that out. It's on Sean's socials and do check out everything else he's doing. Sean, I appreciate your time. I'm glad we did this. I'm excited to
Thank
have
you.
you back on another episode in the future. More power to you. I wish you the best and Godspeed. I hope you have a healthier off season entering season 87 for sure. So you might have to lay off the golf and the weight room a little bit. Maybe use those cold tubs a little more.
A little more, a little more. I'll definitely be in those cold tubs more. I can lay off the golf, but the weight room, it's my home. I can't, I'm not anywhere else.
That's true. That's true. Well, if you lay off the golf, Coach Stapp's gonna give you a call and be like, "So did you finally quit on me? Did you get tired of losing?"
I'm gonna take him back for that, man. I'll wait till maybe he's like 70 or 80 and I'll get him there.
Coach Stapp. Sean, thanks again. Appreciate all the listeners and the viewers of the episode. And talk to y'all next time.